Live from the Palmetto Alligator Research and Management Symposium in Acapulco, Mexico. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour 2026. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling and occasionally other topics. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, statesman, inventor, the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and a man who can play the mandolin so pretty it will make you cry, Richard J. Ringhausen. And marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who has been cliff diving at Acapulco at low tide. The youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the undeniable star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Buenos dias!
Andale, andale.
Herb Albert, Tijuana Brass, wow. Spanish Flea.
Very good. Actually, I think that's Tijuana Taxi.
It probably is. Yeah, it's got the horn on it, doesn't it?
Yeah. But they're the same song.
All of his songs are the same song.
Suzanne said her dad had a Herb Albert and a Tijuana Brass album. Just played it all the time.
I think it didn't.
I think mom and dad had one.
Mom and dad had a
Herb
Albert.
Yeah, I remember Herb Albert.
He just died like a year. Didn't he die in 2005?
I don't think
25? 2025?
He wasn't on my list.
No, I take that back. He's still alive.
No, maybe.
It's
just his career that died.
I was at a meeting earlier. Well, it was in 2025. And
Herb Albert was there?
No, but one of the people that was in there had canceled out on the meeting, you know, like a week or so before and then showed up. And somebody asked, well, why couldn't you make it to the meeting? And she stops and she said, all right. I was at a Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass concert.
They're still playing?
Yeah.
They're still touring?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They played down at like Carbondale or someplace.
Wow, that kind of surprised me.
I know. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is.
Weird. That's so weird. I got to tell you, recently here.
Let me tell you something.
I got to tell you something. Recently here, I went to a factory that was like an automated factory.
Not like Andy Warhol's factory.
No, it was a milk processing facility.
Okay.
That my daughter works at, not the one that lives in California, the one that doesn't live in California. And she works for a milk production company. And
she milk cows?
No, that's what everybody asks.
Okay.
No, she doesn't. She like manages a line of products for this company. And she said, you know, someday you guys should come over and I'll give you a tour. And we're like, well, yeah. So we just recently went on a tour of this milk processing facility. She takes us where they bring in the trailer trucks full of milk, and they unhook them, and they have them in this, like, big bay area. You have to take a whole bunch of trucks in there. They pump the milk out into giant stainless steel silos. You know, like you've seen the old corn silos.
Yeah.
They're like that, but bigger. And stainless steel. And there's just like a whole row of them.
Full of milk.
And they're all full of milk. And then as soon as they pump all the milk out of these stainless steel trucks, they have this robot device that goes inside the truck.
And sterilizes
and it. And power washes it with steaming hot water.
I'm glad to hear that. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. And so then the milk goes into this these silos, and then they bring it out, you know, for different lines, and they go through this pasteurizer room that is like this constant hum. I don't know how long I could before I'd snap in there. But then it goes into this next room where they're breaking it out. It starts going in different directions. There's just pipes going all over the place. But in this one, they have the flavoring room to where, you know, like they make like a dairy creamer to put cream in your coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they have these giant bags of ingredients, like 2,000-pound bags.
And Julia stands up at the top of the vat, stirring it with a big paddle.
That's where she swims through it to stir it. Have a whole bunch of children swimming in vats of chocolate.
They sanitize them all first, though.
No, they have the chocolate waterfall. I wish they would. But so they do the flavoring there, and then they take it out on the floor.
It's the only way to mix it correctly.
Right. Needs more sugar. Then we go out into the packaging room where they actually have the, you know, like this giant thing of flat, looks like piece of cardboard, and they put them in the machine. They pop open and they have a heat device that heats the bottom to create a seal. Fill them full of milk, put a cap on, and they just go through this assembly line. It's just unbelievable how fast it goes through there, and then it goes to the assembly line, puts them in boxes, and then it puts them on a pallet, and then it puts them in a cold storage the whole pallet of time, mm-hmm. and not a human touches it.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Which is good.
But they got
these
question.
Robot arms going the whole time. It's just mind-blowing. It's like the Matrix.
Let's say they hired you to run this place. How long would it be before you dressed like Willy Wonka when you walked through the factory?
First day.
Here's the new boss. Hope you like him.
We are the dreamers of dreams.
You know, Willy Wonka was actually kind of a dark, mean guy.
He was a mean guy.
Yeah.
The way he insulted all the snotty little kids.
Yeah. Got like that.
I can think of a worse habit.
The nose picker.
Three horrible little children gone. Two nice, sweet children remained. That was a good movie. Now, have you seen the Johnny Depp version of that?
Oh my God! There's no reason to watch that.
No, it's just creepy. I couldn't watch it the whole time. I watched a little bit of it and like, oh my God, this is blasphemy.
You know, Johnny Depp to me has become like a caricature of himself. I mean, whenever he's in a movie, he
plays such a far out character.
Yeah, that it like wrecks the movie.
He's cartoonish almost.
Yeah.
Like when he was in The Lone Ranger and he was Tonto and he made Tonto
the star of it.
Yeah. That really went off the rails.
What kind of craziness is that?
And that pirate thing that he is, he's a ghost or he's a creature or somewhere in between or what he is.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
First one was okay. No reason to watch
marginally.
Yeah.
I did like Edward Scissorhand.
I never cared for Edward
Scissorhands. You didn't care for I bits and parts of the movie were interesting. The guy who played the dad who didn't really seem to notice that he had scissors on his hands, that he was pretty good. The guy from Catch 22, what's his name?
Oh, Art Garfunkel.
Not Art Garfunkel. Yozarian.
Oh, Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin, thank you.
Gosh. Art Garfunkel was in that, too. As was Bob Newhart.
Yeah, but in that movie, Art Garfunkel, as in his singing group, was not the star.
Okay. Well, all right, Alan Arkin.
You know, Art Garfunkel left Simon Garfunkel because he felt that Paul Simon was holding him back.
Yeah, what did Art Garfunkel do after that?
Yeah, he was in Catch 22, and that was it.
I think he was on one of the early Saturday Night Live episodes, and John Belushi like berated him on air on the show. He says, "Ooh, what do you do now? It's a Wonderful World," like a cover of something else. I mean, he says, "You know, in the old days you did great songs, and now you're nothing." It was harsh to watch,
as opposed to funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it was funny in a way. It was funny that John Belushi had the gumption to just blast
just
him,
do it.
or that Art Garfunkel sat still for it all.
Okay. So anyway, the milk processing facility was cool. When these, you know, like big giant pallets of cartons of milk, would go on the conveyor and go like from the packaging floor through the wall into the cold storage. And the cold storage was the biggest cold storage I've ever seen. And they didn't have forklifts in there. They had robots that would just transport these, and they'd put them up on, you know, the slot, and then they'd come back and get another one. Just like, it was wonderful. It was magical.
So you're ready for robots to run the world, are you?
I am. You can put me in one of those little pods and use me as a battery. I'm okay with it.
I know
that they're doing a good job.
You're going to say, put your head on a robot body like Mr. Burns in The Simpsons.
No, not that. Okay. Okay, that's, I've been to the milk factory.
Okay,
now.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let's say that you had some disease that you're going to die from, but they've developed technology to keep your head alive in it without the rest of your body.
Yeah.
Would you sign up for that?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I said this picture of Sarah.
What other questions do you have?
I said this picture of your wife carrying your head to a party. Oh, we're here for the anniversary. Here's Alan. He's going to be the centerpiece of the table.
Okay. You didn't tell me that Sarah would be involved in this. Because
you think you're going to outlive her, do you?
What I'm imagining is spending the rest of my life in the closet.
Yeah, the first time.
He's still in there!
First time you torment your wife in some way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry.
It's me, Alan, in the closet. I'm sorry. I won't do that again.
Can I please have another scoop of the mashed peas, please? Somebody had to feed you every day, right?
Well, I think they would.
Yeah, put you on like an IV or something
like
that.
Yeah, give you the nutrients you need.
Yeah, okay. Eventually, though, they could mount your head on the body of an ape or something, couldn't they?
Since you'd be able to walk around.
Yeah, swing around.
And you'd be stronger than any of the other
anybody.
Guys around.
The strength of 20 men. Okay, yet now we're digressing, Rick.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
I was wanting to talk about in that intro, you referenced Acapulco cliff diving.
Yeah, I did.
You know that's a thing still.
But you said it wrong.
What? Why?
A man who's been cliff diving at Acapulco, and then you're supposed to leave a little space and say, at low tide. Okay, that's how I'll try to fix that.
Okay. But you remember back when there was something called ABC's Wide World of Sports?
Yeah, where they just went out of their way to find bizarre, unusual sports.
Because they didn't have the rights to any, like, basketball or football or baseball. Right. So right. They would, like, scrounge around, like, have sports of people.
Barrel jumping
on ice skates. And, right. And they had the Acapulco cliff divers several times, I think.
Yeah, I liked them.
Yeah. I agree. Apparently, though, you know, I was studying up on this. Do you know that when they do this cliff diving in Acapulco, it's like 115 feet dive, right?
Uh-huh.
They start off, they go out and swim around in the basin of it to make sure there's nothing down there that they shouldn't be when they jump.
Right.
And there's no ladder or steps or nothing. They bare rock climb the cliff with bare hands, even though they're, like, wet.
Right. It's a machismo thing, too.
Yeah. They'll climb like 115 feet of, like, straight up down cliff with just their hands.
I think in more recent times they've added some handholds or some things to
grip onto. I don't think so.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It says so. And then they jump. And for the tourists.
But they have daily shows.
Yeah. Do you know how much you get paid a month for doing that?
I hope a lot.
It says it
on there. You got a limited career, right?
It's like
typically they make $18,200.
No, Mexican dollars.
Oh, that's Mexican. In American dollars, it's $930 a month?
That's what they make, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But the thing that surprised me, when I was looking at this, I typed in, how many people have died cliff diving? None. There's never been a death from that.
Wait a minute. It says the work pays $550 a month.
Yeah, there was two different – there was discrepancy on that topic. apparently the tourist business has gone to hell in Acapulco.
It has.
Yeah.
I thought there's been a resurgence in Acapulco.
Well, maybe some, but apparently, you know, the cartels kill a lot of people.
Huh.
They, like, took 54 students out of a school and killed them all. And that was that sort of thing threw cold water on the tourist business. Used to be like 250 cruise ships a year would stop in Acapulco. Now there's like 10. So things have gone south in that regard.
And even though Elvis shot the movie Fun in Acapulco, Elvis never actually set foot in Acapulco.
No. And in the movie Fun in Acapulco, Elvis, it shows Elvis cliff diving, that he does the cliff dive. You know, and apparently they just filmed him diving off a diving board into a Hollywood pool and then rear projected the everything onto it like that.
They did a lot of rear projection in Elvis movies, like especially when he's driving race cars and stuff like that.
Yeah. But I just got a kick out of that Elvis would, that's going to be Elvis cliff diving, that any dangerous, outlandish thing, Elvis could do it. He was your go-to guy.
He was invincible.
Yeah.
Well, until he died.
Apparently, his handler, the colonel.
Yeah.
The colonel wasn't actually an American citizen. He was from Holland or Dutch or something. And he, like, came into the country illegally, they say. And as a result,
he couldn't
leave the country. So Elvis never toured internationally. And he never left the country for, like, these movies and stuff. Because the colonel couldn't. He would be out of the colonel's reach if he did something.
You wonder how big he would have been if he had had a real manager.
Well, I mean, the colonel did get him going at the beginning. I mean, there's no question. The colonel, like, saw him playing at some county fair or someplace and
latched onto him
and made Elvis a big hit. But at some point, Elvis outgrew the colonel.
Oh yeah, figuratively and literally.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Hey, before we came in, you were telling me the interesting tale of changing a battery.
Yeah, my favorite flashlight, the batteries went, no. My truck. I have a Chevy truck, right?
Yeah.
Battery goes dead. I'm not going to pay somebody to change the battery in a vehicle.
How many times have you changed a battery in your life? Car battery, truck battery.
Car, truck, tractor, over 100.
I'd say over 100.
Over 100,
yeah.
You know, going back to our farm days.
Right.
So there's no way I'm going to pay somebody else. I'll just go get a battery, and I'll replace it. But, and you know, when you pop the hood on the vehicle, where's the battery?
Right up front, on the right hand.
Either right side. Or left hand side. You know, generally
driver's side.
Some easy place that you can jump start it, you know, if it goes low or something like that, or you give somebody else a jump because you pull the vehicles nose to nose and you just hook them up. Not this vehicle. This vehicle, the battery, some smart engineer type puts the battery back like where the hood springs are, but it's partially under the dash on the passenger side somehow. But to get to it, you got to remove these braces that run between the firewall of the truck and the fender, and then another one that goes straight up and down that holds a bracket full of electronic stuff. And once you get all that out and you remove this bracket that holds the battery tight to the base, that you have to get a socket extension that flexes and get that down in there and get that out. And then you have to pull the battery forward towards the front of the truck and then twist it 1/4 of a turn after you've loosened up and leaned the windshield washer fluid reservoir forward enough to then easily slide the battery out of place.
Okay, let me ask this.
That bracket that whoever designed that should have had their name on it so I could look them up on the internet and say, hey, bad design, bad.
I mean, think about the average car engine.
Millions of them have been made, and you've successfully placed a battery up front.
Of all the parts on a car, what's the one part that you're most apt to replace on a car engine?
Battery.
I you could say spark plugs, but I think I've changed battery a lot more than I've changed spark plugs.
Well, in your case, yeah, that's true.
I'd say in anybody's case.
Well, no, I think a lot of your modern cars have injectors and not necessarily spark plugs.
Maybe change the oil.
Yeah, but that's not a permanent part of the vehicle.
No, but in terms of taking a part off, the battery is the part you're most apt to take off.
I'm going to say probably, yes, the battery.
Okay, so cars being designed, right?
Yeah.
An engineer that's gone to college, studied engineering.
Engineering.
And he's designing the engine, and yet he doesn't know that the single most commonly replaced part of a car engine
should not be the hardest one to get out.
To, yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I mean, and there was nobody in the process of overseeing the design of this truck that said, you know, have you ever changed a battery on a truck?
The last five vehicles you've owned, where's the battery on those?
For me? Still up front? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're talking to the engineer.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, you mean that someone might think this is inconvenient?
And, you know, maybe it's because we're old guys, and now cars, instead of having an engine, have a battery, just one giant battery.
Oh, well, the electric vehicles have like 100 of them, don't
That's
they?
What I'm talking about.
And you can't just change them yourself, can you?
Well, you can't open them. There's no way to get to them. I don't know anything about it, Rick. Have you ever ridden in an electric vehicle?
No. Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
I assume the hearse that takes me to the grave will be one.
It'll probably break down.
Someone have to change the battery.
I've ridden in electric vehicles. I've got a daughter that lives in California that has an electric vehicle. Have you ridden in a Waymo?
I've ridden in a golf cart.
No, a Waymo.
No, I have no idea what that is.
It's the driverless.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about
the driverless
cabs. You talked about that in one of the other episodes.
I saw one in St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah. They're taking over. It drove me to the milk factory.
It drove you crazy. Oh, no, that's somebody else.
That's a different driver.
My daughter, Gina, had a car, and she called, same thing. She called, needed battery replaced, you know, whatever reason. And I go to get it and pop the hood open, right? That's your starting point.
Right where you start, right.
And I'm looking around.
You look left, you look right.
There's no, where's the battery? Where's the battery? I mean, how is this car starting? There's no battery in it. So nowadays, of course, you can go online.
You go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube. And it says, remove the driver's side front tire.
This has got to be a joke.
It wasn't. You remove the tire and then you remove the well casing around the wheel.
The cowling.
Yeah, the cowling. And that's the only way you can get to that battery. And the same thing. I'm sitting there the whole time taking that off going, who in the holy living hell?
This can't be right. This cannot be right. Let's watch the video again.
Someone literally designed this car with a battery that you had to take the front tire off to get to it.
Okay, so I'm working on trying to get this battery out, you know, and I'm jerking, you know. It'll come out.
Did you have Dennis standing behind you, kind of poking you with a stick?
Here's the deal. And the other thing is, you know, it's a four-wheel drive truck, so I'm having to stand on a step stool just to get to it,
right?
And then lean in there. And I just got all done, you know,
because you're vertically impaired.
And I'm closing the hood on the truck, and Dennis pulls in the driveway. I said, but he was coming from the opposite direction that he usually comes from. Uh-huh. And I said, where have you been? He said, well, I ran on down to Alton. I said, you should have been here earlier. I was taking the battery out of the truck. He said, I drove by and saw you were doing it.
Figured, that's why I drove to Alton.
Figured I'd better give you some space. He said, I'd seen you change batteries before.
But he ain't seen that one.
I thought he knew better. He could have showed up and handed me the wrong tool at the proper time.
Oh, that's what you used to do to the old man.
Yeah.
He loved that, too.
You were there.
Yeah, I know.
There's such joy in that. And yet,
And that would be our dad underneath of a brush hog mower that goes behind a tractor, underneath of it trying to change the blades.
Where you just barely move.
And asking for a wrench that you... And sticks his hand out, and you put the wrong tool in
his
hand.
You give him a screwdriver. That's not it. I said adjustable. And then you'd hand him a second wrong tool. And then that's when, all right, then he starts coming out. Like he's going to come out.
And spank
hit
you.
They hit you with a wrench or something. I don't know.
And but, spank you. Yeah,
like he's coming out. I'm coming out.
Damn it.
And then we all run until he calms down. But if were the guy under there and in a tight spot, what would he do? He'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
The same thing we're doing to him.
Stand on top of the mower and jump up and down like you're going to jump it off the blocks.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you would.
That's dangerous.
Oh.
All right. Okay, what's our topic here?
I don't know. It was cliff diving in
Acapulco. Oh, cliff diving in Acapulco. What's the highest thing you've ever jumped off of?
The bed of the truck. The bed of one of the farm trucks, not a pickup, a full-size truck.
I mean, like the
loading dock.
Have you ever jumped into water off of something high?
I can't swim. Of course I wouldn't do that. That'd be like a death sentence to me.
Like diving board? You gone off the diving board ever?
Never jumped off a diving board in my life. Have you?
Yeah, I'd say diving board's probably the highest thing I've probably jumped into water from.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. You know, like dived off the side of a boat. I don't know that I've dived off of anything really high.
Can you swim?
Yeah.
Huh. That's one thing.
But our youngest brother, Brad, went on a float trip down on Current River down in southern Missouri, right? You know, we've all been canoeing down there. And on that particular river, it's kind of a pool and riffle system to where you go through a series of, you know, not rapids, but fast water.
Yeah.
And then you'll
It's real shallow.
Yeah, it's shallow. And, you know, your canoes want to dip over, and it's fun when you're young, I guess. And then you'd come through calm water for a while. And usually the calm water was kind of deep, right?
Right.
There's a place down there where the water gets really deep.
And you can jump off a cliff.
And you can jump off cliffs. And, you know, it's middle of summer, it's hot, you know, jumping off the cliffs, fun. And the problem is with Brad and his flotilla that he was with, Brad doesn't swim. But in the canoes, they have these little square cushions.
Yeah, life jacket things.
Little life jacket, life cushion, whatever. That mainly you use to sit on so that the aluminum canoe doesn't burn your rear end, right?
Right.
So he takes one of those and just holds on to that and jumps off the cliff holding on to one of those.
Wow.
And he does it over and over. And you know why he's doing this?
Because he's drunk.
He's drunk as all get out.
Okay. Do you remember as a child we would go canoeing with a big group of people, a whole bunch of families.
Yeah.
And that at some point, there'd be a couple of young guys that would get ahead of everybody else and wait for the canoes to come up and then leap out of the brush or whatever and grab the sides and rock them until you've dumped the people out into the water.
Okay.
Do you remember that? Or doing
yes,
that?
Kind of.
Okay. And you just thought it was the funniest thing. If you were now canoeing and like
you tip this canoe or I'm going to kill you.
And your kids came over and just rocked the canoe until you dumped it in. Because what I remember was that the adults didn't like that.
Right.
And we'd do it to them anyway.
Okay.
You know, when you think about it, they had
and they took some of them at the end.
And they had coolers and everything in the cooler and we just dumped the whole thing over anyway.
It was our food.
I know, but it was funny.
Right.
But I'm just thinking nowadays, if my kids did that to me, I would be insanely furious.
Uh-huh.
For doing something.
You're getting kind of upset right now, aren't you?
I am getting upset just thinking about it. Even though I was one that helped do it back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, those trips, somebody should have had a hotel closer to the river. I could stay in a hotel.
As opposed to camping with a whole bunch of young people.
And I think I'd want to take something other than one of those metal canoes down the... Something more comfortable.
Because the other thing I remember, the fun thing to do was to go, like in the middle of the night, collapse the tents of the adults.
I don't remember doing that.
I remember doing that too.
You were collapsing their tent?
Yeah, you go wait until you could hear like snoring inside. I don't know what that is. Wait till you hear snoring inside and then go
then
pop.
Collapse the tent?
Yeah, pop the poles out and drop them down on them. And they were big canvas tents back then.
Oh, big, horrible, hard, difficult to put up.
Yeah. It was just hilarious. And again, if my kids did that to me now, I'd come out and kill them.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's been a heck of a show, Rick.
On that happy note.
Yeah. on killing your children?
Yeah. See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Riebinghausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Riebinghausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Riebinghausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Except no substitutes. You know, there aren't any, are there?